and say how thankful I am to have the privilege to be here this morning. But we absolutely enjoy just our part at Camp Blessing and getting to be just a small part. Such wonderful, wonderful campgrounds and workers and everything that was there. I'm going to just be honest. I was highly impressed. And I have to say, for Broadway, I congratulate you. And I just want you to know that you have a wonderful staff. They absolutely did a wonderful job, from people working with the little kids right up to those adolescent brat teenagers. And I'm going to be honest, every young person that I came across was respectful, and I think it was just reflective of the leadership. And we just had a wonderful time, and the cooks just outdid themselves. And for those of you that don't come to Camp Blessing, you ought to come at least just for the meals. It's really wonderful. And so we enjoyed all the food and the fellowship, but most of all, the presence of the Lord. And I appreciate the way folks prayed around the altars. I know that sometimes if it was up to my preaching to be reflective of what God is doing in the altars, there wouldn't be much altar time. But God came and graced us every night. And whenever someone came forward looking to meet Him, it seemed like that's exactly what happened. And so I'm so thankful for what God did. Those from different areas, we're glad that they came. But Broadway is just such a core group, and I am just absolutely impressed. I'm not trying to build anybody up, but I've been to a lot of different youth camps, and usually there's a lot of churches involved and a lot of different hands involved, but you folks have just given it your all this week, and we appreciate it. Amen. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity this morning. Would you stand with me all over the building? Joshua chapter 1. I just want to read a few verses of Scripture to us. And I know the theme last week was next level, but honestly, in this next year, I believe that everything that we do should be reaching for a higher height. I think that everything with inside of us ought to be believing God to give us something greater than what we have had before. And I want to read this to you this morning with that in mind. Joshua chapter 1, if you're there this morning, verse 1, just say amen. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." I don't know about anybody else. If this was us, literal, right now, it'd make me just want to start walking around. It's all mine. Wherever the sole of my foot shall tread upon, God says, I'm giving it to you. Hallelujah. From the wilderness, now listen, he begins to give us some borders. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance. Everybody say inheritance. The land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. I want to read that one more time. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. If God would help me preach for just a few minutes this morning, I want to preach on this topic, the forgotten inheritance. It seems like with every generation, sometimes God has to come back in and define our borders and what belongs to us. This was necessary because there's been a 40-year lapse since the original scheme of God's plan that said, this is what I'm giving you. I want you to go in and take it. And because of disobedience and discrepancies, there's been 40 years of wandering. How many knows when you're kind of aimlessly living life, it's easy to forget what belongs to you. But I'd like for this generation to have a clear picture again of the things that belong to the church. Because if you don't know what's yours, you won't fight for it. There's a lot of the church that is not fighting for what is theirs because they don't realize that it belongs to them. So this morning, before it's all said and done, I want to preach on the forgotten inheritance. But I'm hoping and praying that it gets so deep ingrained in somebody's heart that before we leave today, some of you get just downright territorial. I want victory, and I don't just have to have it in one spot of the church. But I can have it back at the door, and I can have it in my home, in my marriage, in my children's life. Oh, God, help us this morning. There's some promises that God said is ours. I believe that this inheritance needs to be reminded. Would you raise your hands this way and let's believe God. Lord, I love you and I thank you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you for your word. I pray today that you would open a door of utterance unto me. God, I am nothing without you. Lord, my thoughts are simple, Lord. I pray that you would take these thoughts and you would anoint them, God, and let your word reach into every heart. I pray that most of all, once again, you would move in these altars. Let it become personal to every individual, God, not just a corporate message, God, with a corporate prayer, but God, I pray that we would individually lay hold to the kingdom of God this morning and walk out as recipients knowing that you have blessed us, God, in our efforts, our labors, and our desire for more of you. God, I ask it to be so and believe it because your word says it is. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody in this place said amen. You can be seated. May God richly bless you this morning. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to take just a moment and look at this with me. Because sometimes, though things are real, some real things can be distractions. There are things that we deal with in this life and even some people that we lay great confidence in. I've grown to love Brother Matt Jones just in the last year. I've known of him for a long time, but his character speaks volumes. And I've really enjoyed getting to know him. But can I tell you that our salvation, our walk with God, even our church attendance must transcend. It must go beyond just the personality of our pastor at the church. You've got to go beyond even just the persona of, well, I attend Broadway and I appreciate the wonderful things that God does here, but I'm glad that God goes beyond just this geographical location. If this place got shut down, I'm glad that God's still in business. If one preacher fails or falls short of the mark, I'm glad that God's still the same. It doesn't matter. Here's what I'm trying to let us know is that there was a lot of confidence. There was individuals that had absolutely was ready to leave Egypt and go into the wilderness. But a lot of them had got their eyes on Moses. Moses was a figurehead. God always uses a man somewhere to be a leader, to lead his people out. But what I've come to tell you this morning is God made it very clear, emphatically clear to Joshua that Moses is dead. My servant Moses is dead. Now arise, get up. Somebody needs to understand that you can't get too attached to Moses. Moses can be a lot of different things. It can be people, places, and things. There's some individuals that are so attached to what was that they can never embrace what is. There's some individuals that are so attached to yesterday that their tomorrow and the blessings of God that are in the future seem to be something that they've got no room for because they are simply holding on and their arms are full of the past. But I've come to tell somebody that if you're
you're going to embrace what God's about to do, you're going to have to make some room in your life for the new things that God's about to bless you with. Now, I said it last week at youth camp, God hits a moving target. A motion sensor is something that detects motion and it gives light to that motion that's going on. I've come to tell somebody that I believe that principle is true this morning, that you and I must realize that God is always calling us forward. I like this morning the attitude that we have. Thank God for what He did. The things that we looked at last Sunday that may have looked maybe impossible, we've come through it. God's blessed us and we've made it thus far by faith. But can I declare to somebody this morning that you now need to understand that this next week is going to be new things. I've got to embrace other battles. I've got to fight. I'm not to heaven yet. Thank God for what He did at Camp Blessing. Thank God for a Sunday that we can come in and enjoy this Sabbath and have some rest and reprieve. But I'm not through yet. I'm still transitioning. I'm still moving. I understand that I'm not where I desire to be yet. I wish everybody just get this picture. That's why your windshield is bigger than your rear view mirror, because it's okay to take a look in the past and to judge where you were, but where you're going ought to always be bigger than where you was. Thank God for this last year at camp, but I believe next year, if the Lord tarries, it'll even be bigger. I believe God will do more. I believe some of us need to get a vision of where God is taking us. Now, having said that this morning, here's what I want to just lay down to you and make you understand, that I am a very confrontational, territorial kind of person. And I don't mean to be, but I'm not afraid if somebody's trying to take my stuff to let them know, hey, you better leave that alone. Now, most of us, doesn't matter if you're quiet and passive, somebody breaks into your house, all of a sudden there's some other person that comes out of you. And here's the reason why. It's because there are some things that are ours. And there are some things, it really doesn't matter. I'm not talking about a church pew. God help us this morning. There's some people, you sit in their spot in there. Do you know whose seat you're in? Last time I checked, this was Broadway Assembly, and this place belonged to God, and I can sit wherever I want to if I get there first. Y'all might as well smile. You know, some people, you throw them completely out of sorts. You get their seat, get their spot. Oh, God, help me this morning. I'm not talking about the seat in the church. I'm not talking about somebody taking your favorite coffee cup or swiping your glass of tea. I'm talking about things that are pertinent to life, pertinent to spirituality, things that really matter. What are you saying? I'm saying that if it's something that I really, really care for, things that I have invested in. I'm not going to let this world just come in and take my children without a fight. Oh, God, help me this morning. I'm not going to let the world come in and just take my joy without me having something to say about it. Oh, God, help us this morning. Here's what I want you to look at, is that there's some people that before they get confrontational, they've got to get mad. That's not God's plan. God's not looking for you to get mad. God just wants for you to lay your foot down, let the world know that this belongs to me. And I'm not just letting it go easily. But can I bring this up again? Again, what if I don't perceive that it's mine? If it's mine, I'll say it this way. If somebody brought in a stack of $100 bills and just filled the front this morning with all that money, I'm going to just be honest, it'd be safe for me because I know it doesn't belong to me. It's not mine. You wouldn't have to worry not about a dollar, not a dime of it missing, because if it's not mine, I don't want it. But if it had my name on it, it changes it altogether. If somebody brought it in a wheelbarrow and it said Noah Hatfield on it, you better back up away from that wheelbarrow. Preacher, somebody brought it in and it's free. No, it's not free. Not if it's got my name on it. Not if somebody has designated that it's mine, something that would be life-changing. What are you saying? I've come to tell some of us that there are things that God wheels in every Sunday morning, and there are times that we have no perception that, hey, that's for me. That's mine. We think that maybe it's for the person across the aisle, or maybe maybe for some other family that's just come in. But can I declare to you that if I perceive that it is for me, then I am willing to fight for it. I believe that there's way too many Christians that are coming to church and they look around at what God has provided and they're hoping to rent what they already own. What I've come to tell somebody is that you are not a renter. You are the landlord. God said you could have joy. God said you could have peace. God said you could have healing. You ain't got to just come in here and rent a cheap feeling. Well, I pay my tithe so I can feel good at church. No, you can feel good everywhere. You can know the peace of God that passes all understanding everywhere. You can know His power everywhere. It's not just temporary. It's something that transcends time. God, awaken us to the fact that there are things that are ours. But if you keep it, you'll have to fight for it. Look at Israel's borders just for a moment. Because God wants them to know, this is all yours. From north to south, east to west, this is what I'm giving you. He defines for them what belongs to them. Can I just say this? God has defined for the church what belongs to us by our faith. We own according to how big our faith is. The only real limits that we have is our faith. Now, I wish you'd really grasp that this morning. Because there's some of us that we're not really obtaining much because our faith doesn't go very far. But can I say this morning, that faith in and of itself is without limits. It is unlimited. It goes far beyond just these walls. This morning, I find that the Bible declares to us that we are commissioned to go into all the world and to preach this gospel to every creature. I don't know what that tells you. That tells me that all this world is our territory. And we still have the responsibility right now to evangelize this world, no matter what generations before us have or have not done. I still hear, even 2,000 years later, that great commission call, and it's speaking to this church. Go, go, go. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that 30 or 40 years ago we reached out to this community, and this is the effects and the fruit of it. I've come to tell somebody that it's still speaking to this generation that you're not done, that we have limited ourselves sometimes to these four walls and what we can pick up on a van. But God, let every restaurant that I step in, let me be a representative, and in my mind, let me hear the word go to the person behind the counter, to the individual I work with, to the family down the street. God, help me to go. This new news, this old news that ever grows new, Jesus saves need, needs to be declared to this generation in a fresh and a new way. Go with that great commission and claim another soul for Jesus Christ. What happens when we don't do it? If you study the quest of the Canaanites with Israel, you find that by the end of this very book, by the end of Joshua and the first chapter of Judges, Joshua is dead. I find that they divide instead of unite. They get weary in well-doing and they become fearful, and spiritual decay begins to infect them from within, and now they don't believe that they can overcome the enemy. So instead of ridding themselves of sin, flesh, and carnality, they choose to dwell with it. They tolerate it. They just live there with it instead of drive it out. Judges 1 and 21 says, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem until this day. Man, I don't know about you, but when I think about the places that the devil has strongholds that God said is ours, there ought to be something that rises up in us like rose up in David that says, you ain't always gonna live on my property. You ain't always gonna claim my territory. But what God said is mine, I'm gonna fight for it. I'm gonna claim it, and I'm gonna win it back. Look at this a moment. it became so commonplace to co-inhabit with the enemy. In fact, it went on for so long that what belonged to who got blurry. Now, realize this. Jebusites living in Jerusalem. A lot of times we think that when the Bible talks about David going with the head of Goliath, putting the armor in his tent, but taking the head of Goliath to Jerusalem, that he was just taking it to church so he could testify. No, it wasn't. He was taking it to church because that didn't belong to the Israelites. But I believe, Brother Dom, that the reason he took the head of that giant there was because he wanted to shake it in the face of those that thought that they could never be dispossessed. Just a few moments ago, there were those that thought, I'd never overcome this giant. One of these days, I'm going to come in and I'm going to sit on that throne. Oh, God, help me preach this the way I feel it this morning. That's the whole point that we read in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I know it's an old story and everybody's heard of David and Goliath. But when we look at this, this is what the Israelites were dealing with. The Philistines were coming to their land and they wanted to enslave them on their own property. You see, it'd be one thing if the devil just left us alone and stayed off the campus and left us alone off. But here's what I find most churches are dealing with: adversaries that are coming in trying to sit on the very pews of the church, trying to disrupt and make claims. Look at this, and this is what Goliath says to them. He says, send me out a man that I may fight with him. If I overcome him, then you'll be our slaves. I wish somebody would hear this, because that's what's going on. They're trying to enslave us to their mentality, to their thoughts, to their false gods, to their religion. But here's why I'm glad that in that generation there was a David that said, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to fight? Is there not a God to be glorified in this battle? Thank God for David. But let me take a step back and ask you this. Why is David fighting a giant? He should have never had to fight a giant. Why? Because somebody should have evicted that big old ugly joker's ancestors years ago. There should not have been giants at that time. What are you saying? I'm saying don't leave a giant in your life for your children to have to deal with. Don't you let the adversary breed around you and now your children are fighting things you should have got rid of. God help us to get territorial. God help us to have victory in our churches. God give us a place to shout and rejoice and to praise the living God, because His is our inheritance. This is how we have become to accept status quo. If we don't get rid of the giants that are facing us now, the next generation will never know what belongs to them. If we don't fight for victory, and how many times have you heard this? I remember when we had this at camp or camp meeting or revival. I remember 30 years ago when, why has it regressed? Why has our borders gotten smaller? You remember when such and such got healed and those blinded eyes got open and 42 people got saved? You remember what's happened? We're not fighting for what's ours. We're co-inhabiting to the place that now we expect status quo. It has been dead so long in our churches that if somebody just gets a little quiver, we think we've had revival. We never see them move. Well, they just barely moved. And most people were surprised about it instead of getting in and moving with them. Oh, God, help me this morning. But we have become so dead in the Pentecostal circles that we look around and it's a complete surprise when the Lord takes over and God begins to move in us. We have generational inherited vices and weaknesses. It seems like now it's not just one family problem, but it's bred into the next family and into the next generation because daddy never got victory over it. Mama never prayed it through. Uncle so-and-so never got to the place that he ever got free. I find that struggling has become the new norm. If you're not struggling, we almost condemn you and demonize you. You look at somebody that's blessed and you feel like they're doing something wrong. What's going on? It's because we have allowed the enemy to come in and redefine our borders, trying to take the things that belong to us. But I'm looking at a generation I feel like is fed up and tired of the old games of the generations before. I'm sick and tired of fictitious battles, battles that we're not really fighting, but we're just inventing things to make us feel better. I'll never forget when prayer was taken out of public schools and individuals would stand up in the church. God help us. Prayer is being taken out of our public schools. We need to do something about it. Those same people, you give an altar call and they wouldn't spend a minute. They wouldn't even walk down to the altar, some of them. God, give us a power that's authentic. Give us a righteous indignation that we do something about it. What are you saying? I'm sick and tired of status quo. God gave me an inheritance and it transcends and goes beyond what I've been feeling. And when he opens my eyes to it, I want to get it. I want to receive it. I want to partake in it. God, help me to obtain the inheritance of the 21st century Pentecostal believer.
It's my inheritance. It's my inheritance. I'm not going to preach long this morning, but I just want to get this point. It's entirely possible for you to have an inheritance and not have any idea about it. I could this morning convey a deed of trust to you, not tell you about it, and you just drive by a piece of property that's yours every day, not have a clue. For just a moment, I mean, really ponder that. The things that you would do, the house that you would live in, the car that you would drive, if it was all sitting there and you knew it was yours. But if you don't know it, you just keep on driving by. What are you saying, Brother Hatfield? I'm saying, read the will. Why come to Sunday school? Because, my goodness, this morning, you'd have got so many fruits it was just shook off the branch. You didn't even have to reach up for them. I mean, just shake them off, reach down and pick them up, and just conceive and taste the good things of God, all the wonderful things that he is doing for us and the good things that God has provided for us. Now, I want you to understand that when you read the Bible, you'll find this out, Broadway Assembly, you've got some stuff. More than what we are taking advantage of. Now, I've said this, man, I think this is a powerful church. It's one among the very chosen few. I believe in Ohio, this place has a wonderful staff, a man of God for a pastor, a man of God for a youth pastor, individuals that care. But can I tell you, we are still just scraping the cream off the top of what God wants to do right here in Lorain, Ohio. God, help us to not get satisfied with what we have. You've got more than what you are partaking of, but you will not and won't defend it if you don't know you have it. And if you don't possess it, somebody else will. That's what Ephesians says in 4:27. It's been made to mean a lot of things, but it just simply says, and neither give place to the devil. Man, I wish somebody would say this morning, you're not having any area of my life. You are not taking any of my joy. You can't have my peace. You're not taking away my revival. Man, I wish some of you'd hear me. Are you really going to let the devil come in and take your revival? Take your shout. Take your speaking in tongues. Take your healing. Take your family. Take your children. And you ain't going to do nothing about it. You ain't going to, oh God, help us to realize we're in a fight, and I want it. I want it back. I want it back. I want it back. I want it back. I want my family. I want a revival. I want what God said is mine.
Hallelujah.
Don't be living oblivious, bound, dead, and addicted when you can live free, abundant, and full of glory. It's time that we take the deed to a higher power and get the devil that's been squatting on ours evicted for good. There are things that we will always fight, but there's some things that we should have permanently. You can't take my hope, my joy, my salvation. You can't take away my expectancy for when I go to church that God's going to do the supernatural. You can't take my faith. What are you saying? I'm going to ask you just one more time. Do you really feel like this is coincidence? I know that a lot of times we feel like time and chance happeneth to all people. It rains on the just and the unjust. But has anybody noticed how the church is being attacked? Has anybody noticed how righteous people seemingly are being singled out? I've come to tell somebody that this ain't just time and chance. This has been sent against you. This is a devil that wants to take literal things away from you. And you need to stand up this morning and say, I know it's better than this because God's word says it is, and I'm taking back what I know is mine. My salvation is more than just the club I belong to or the church that I signed a roll at. My salvation is more than just sitting amongst other believers. My salvation is more than just singing on a Sunday morning. There's more to it. I said there's more to it. There's more to it, and I want my inheritance. You have got something to do with your future. You can't blame it all on this pastor or deacons or anybody else. You have got something to do with your future. I read where Jesus came to church, and there was a woman that had been there 18 years. Been over, could in no wise lift herself up. Jesus came that Sunday, I believe it was. And he looks at her and he says, woman, thou art loosed. Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. She's still been over. He reaches over because she's already been given her inheritance. But it hasn't hit her yet. So he lifts her up. I've come to lift somebody up this morning. Because he said it a long time ago. How many times have we come to this very sanctuary and been a victim instead of a victor? We've allowed the devil to beat us up on some pew somewhere about something that took place or something that happened. And we came in a place where liberty is given in double portions. And we sit confined and bound. I've come to tell somebody this morning that it doesn't have to stay that way. Some things you got to fight for. And what I find, this altar is a place for deliverance, but it is also a place for victory. It's a place where God hears the prayers of the prayer warriors. Hallelujah. And when that takes place, here's what you and I have been told. Matthew chapter 11 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. If you have victory at Broadway Assembly, it's not just going to be because it's a good place. It's not going to be just because of all the amenities that are afforded to you. It's going to be because you realize this. There's too many places in this room that I have not shouted in yet. And so I'm just going to prove to the devil that I can come right back here in the third pew and I can get victory here just as well as I can get it back over there. Matter of fact, sometime I may just find myself in a Sunday school room that I don't even go to on a regular basis, and I'm just going to praise the Lord there because I want the devil to know that it's all my territory. Man, I wish somebody'd hear me. It's not just here, but it's on my job. It's in my home. It's in my car. Oh, the Lord has promised us even more so. Let me just finish. An inheritance called eternal life, and the devil wants to take it away, but I'm going to fight for eternal life. It's worth fighting for. God said it was mine. I want my inheritance. heads are bowed and you stand with me all over this room. Every promise in this book belongs to you, the believer, the child of God. Everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake, Christ said, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life. We're not just here for the temporary and the natural. We're reaching beyond the natural, going into eternity, transcending from death unto life. From that is carnal to that is spiritual. Can I tell you, it's not just the young folks. But the older you get, if the devil can mess you up from getting, you say, I've already got my retirement, everything's good, I've got everything I need. Don't neglect that final stage of retirement planning that says, I'm not just happy with being well taken care of down here. Life is so short, doesn't matter if you live 100 years in comparison to eternity. God, help me to lay hold to eternal life. Don't you think for a moment the devil doesn't want to take that from you. He can never live in that place. He can never have a home in that place. He can never know the joy or the grace or the mercy that you do. He can never have any of those things. So he wants to make sure that you never have it either. He can't rejoice in the fact that this is the day that the Lord has made. He can't come to church with expectancy of a problem becoming a promise. Things getting better. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he wants to take away everything that's good that you have. He can't enjoy them, but he wants to make sure you never do either. He's not trying to take your spot in church so he can shout. He just wants to make sure you never shout. He's not wanting to feel healing because he can't. He just wants to make sure you never feel it either. Amen. He's not trying to put bitterness or hate in your heart just so you'll go to hell. But he'll never go to heaven, so he wants to make sure that you never obtain any of those good things God has promised you. This room is full of opportunity this morning. The promises of God are still yea and amen. I could get a lot more personal this morning. But as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm not going to delve into families or your problems, marriage, children, job. I'm not going to delve deep into that. But can I tell you that this is all your territory? There's victory for you. You say, preacher, there's a lot of problems I've got going on. There's victory for you. The devil threatens me every day. There's victory for you. There's an inheritance that's promised. God, I pray this morning you take the feeble words of this preacher. You reach into the heart of every believer, every child of God. I pray, Lord, that you would give them a desire for the things that they have not yet attained or felt. God, I'm tired of just speaking of revivals of the past. What has been, what used to be, God, make it a reality, I pray, in this generation. Open blinded eyes. Let the gospel be preached to the poor. Set every captive free. Heal sick bodies. God, more than anything, save lost souls that have been eternally damned by sins. God, set them free. The price has already been paid. This morning, I pray that someone would lay hold to victory, salvation, to joy and expectancy of greater life, life that is abundant. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Before you begin to look around or see what anybody else is going to do, I'm going to ask you as individuals this morning, I want to give a general altar call, but I want to ask it this way because this is not limited to sinners or saints. If you're in a battle and there's things that you need to obtain, I'm going to ask you, you don't look around at anybody else or worry what anybody else is going to do. I'm going to just ask you, come stake a claim. Why don't you come just take some territory this morning and say, you know what, there's some things that I know that God has promised me and I've not been experiencing them, but I've been reading about them in the will and I want all of my inheritance. I don't want just a portion of it.
I don't want just some of it. I don't want to just experience joy and not no power. I don't want to just be somebody that's Holy Ghost filled but never experience the gifts of the Spirit. God, I want more in my life, and I want that inheritance. So, God, I'm claiming territory. God, I've come to put my foot down. Come on, I'm going to invite the rest of the church. Doesn't matter where you're from. If you can make your way to this altar, I believe God will give you something fresh, something new. Come on, let's pray, church. You know there's things that God desires to place on the inside of you, but you got to desire it as well. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, church. Come on, come on. There's victory around this altar. There's joy in this room.
I am free because you said I'm free. I am free no matter how I feel, no matter what I see. Your word is my authority in every season of life. So as for me and my house, we're gonna be free. So I will stand up and fight for my freedom. I will stand up and take what belongs to me. I will worship in my situation. I will lift my hands and lift my voice and declare I am free. As for me and my house, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we're gonna be free. As for me and my house, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we're gonna be free. As for me and my house, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we're gonna be free. As for me and my house, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we're gonna be free.